This podcast is brought to you by The Shift.
Hello and welcome to the Storytime Podcast. My name is Claire, I go by Clizaire on the internet. And this is the podcast where I invite people on to tell me their best stories. This podcast is brought to you by Patreon, as always, by the patrons on the Storytime Superhero tier on Patreon. Please consider becoming a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/Clizaire. Links are down below in the description and in the show notes on the audio platforms.
It's story time.
Hello and welcome back to the Storytime Podcast. And my name is Claire. I go by Clizaire on the internet. And this is the podcast where I have guests on to tell me stories. And this week I have with me Ryan Tracy. How are you?
Yes, what's the crack, Claire? Thanks very much for having me on. I am doing absolutely mighty.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on. Do you want to tell everyone where to find you on the internet and introduce yourself?
Absolutely. So my name is Ryan Tracy, and I am actually the fastest balloon modeler in the entire world. You find me on the internet, mainly on my Facebook page, which is Duff Balloons. I also have a YouTube channel called Duff the Balloon Ninja, with lots of tutorials teaching people how to become as fast as I am. It's tied into my concept, which is called the Great Inflate, which is all about encouraging as many people as possible to take up something fun, a hobby they like. In this case, it just happens to be balloon modeling. I'm also on Instagram. I'm Ryan Tracy Balloon Man, and I'm on Twitter as well as Ryan T Balloons.
And what I'll do is I'll put all your links down in the description on YouTube and in the show notes on the audio platform, so people can just scroll down and click and find you really easily. So you have a story for me.
I do have a story. I do. I like to tell a story. I love a good story. And listen, what's life if it's not about making stories, about making memories, you know? But you can make memories all your life long. Sometimes it's hard to communicate them. And sometimes the best people with the best stories don't get to tell them. So I think I've got a really cool story for you. So I'm really interested in telling you all about it, because it's something to do with, like I did, and be on TV a few times. But sometimes people don't get to hear the real story behind how that came about, what happened, and the intricacies of how it became. So this is a really good opportunity.
And now, sorry, for the uninitiated, Britain's Got Talent is what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
you
remember with all the lingo, you're like BGT.
Britain's Got Talent is the show that I'm talking about. You know what? That's basically what my story is based upon. So it's based upon my experience of getting on Britain's Got Talent. It's my experience of the show, what happened on the show, and how far I got, and just the ins and outs of what that entailed. So
yeah, so tell me.
Yeah, cool. Listen, I'll start at the beginning, which is interesting.
Always a great place to start.
It is a good place to start. First of all, I suppose I'll start with the fact that I became a balloon modeler about 7 years ago. It's not something that I ever had on my wish list to do. I have a lifetime of academia. I've got a degree, a master's degree. I've got a really long career in local government, where I'm a performance improvement officer. But I've also got 7 kids. So yeah, seven kids. So that's my,
wow.
That's my lucky number.
So
I started young. I started, my eldest Aoife is 19. And then I have, what do you call it? Rebecca's 14, Amy's 12, Matthew's 8, Jessica's 5, Brandon's 2, and Zach's 1. So
wow.
I've been at this thing for 2 decades now. But what the story begins, where I had kids and I wanted to be the best father that I could be. And the way that I wanted to be the best father was to bring a bit of fun into their lives, because it can be very serious. So for our Matthew, actually, for his first birthday, I was attending circus skills school. So I learned how to juggle, unicycle, Diablo, learned all that, always open to learn new skills. And then I got a balloon modeling kit and I started making balloons for his birthday. And the first balloon I made was actually a dog, just like this. and I made the dog, but it didn't look like that. The first dog I made was terrible. It was terrible. I remember my wife saying to me, "Wow, you're not so good at that. And you're good at everything." And I was like, "I'm going to get better." And I said, "I'm going to become the best in the world." And she laughed. And then I became the best in the world and she laughed even harder.
Yeah.
But no, it did. It started with something simple like that, where I just wanted to entertain my kids. And you know what? It was a difficult thing to learn. But once I started to learn the basics of it, I could see my kids, their wee face light up when their daddy made them something out of a balloon. And that's what got me hooked. It was that initial, I can make stuff out of like something simple like balloons, and I get a really great response straight away from my kids. They're like, really, really into it. So I started to think, what can I do with this? I started making more balloons. And then before I knew it, I set up a small business and I was making a lot of balloons. They were very popular, but not just making balloons. What I like to do is entertain kids. So it was, I wanted to create a positive experience in a small, like short space of time. So I was making balloons. And then I realized that because it was popular, there was a lot of kids wanting balloons. So big queues. So I started to go faster and I started to go, because I didn't want the kids to get balloons. So I was going fast and I realized I'm pretty fast at this. So I said, wait a here, this is what happened. So I was in Oma in 2016 and I heard the BGT were coming to town. A friend of mine said to me, listen, we're having a charity night and BGT scouts are going to be there. We're going to have some singing. We can't find a magician. Would you come along and make some balloons? And I said, well, do you know what? I'm open for anything. I'll go do it. So I landed in and I should have worn, I've actually got it in my wardrobe, but I was wearing a Bada Boom suit. It's a very colorful suit. So I had a big Bada Boom suit on. And this suit was very colorful. Walked into this bar.
And sorry, what's a Bada Boom suit? Is it like a specific thing to balloons or?
Not really. It's very unique. Give me 2 seconds.
Well, wait, you'll pull out your earphones.
No, the earphones are long enough. What do you see? Hold on.
It's like, I thought I was going to see the camera take it in.
No. I've got my wardrobe set up here. Right, hold on.
Ah, oh, brilliant.
You need some sunglasses for this. You need some sunglasses for this crack here, Claire. You know what I mean?
This is the best thing about video podcasts. You can see what you're talking about.
Whenever I go out of shot, yeah. So this is like one of those comic book
sort of, exactly. Yeah, suits. Awesome. Exactly. That's really cool.
So listen, I put this suit on, right? And whenever I started wearing this suit, actually people were kind of looked at me and was like, is he actually wearing that? And you have to have confidence to wear this suit. I was like, I'm going to own this suit, right? So I walked into this bar, suited up, and it was like some of a Western. The entire bar just stopped, turned around and looked at me. And I kind of stood there and went, it's a crack. All right, people, that's correct. Walked in anyway, and the next thing was the BGT scouts were there, and I said to the person who had brought me along, who am I making balloons for? There's no kids. And they said, just make a lot of balloons, you'll be grand. And I was like, oh dear, this is a low point. I can't believe I'm in a bar, people are looking at me funny, and I've got balloons and there's no kids. And I was like standing like awkwardly at the bar, you know, kind of trying to not look really awkward. And then the BGT scouts come over to me and said, hello, you look really cool. What's your name? And I says, my name's Ryan. And says, what do you do? And I says, I make balloons. And they said, would you be willing to do an audition? And I said, absolutely not. Well, what do you mean? And then I said, do you know what? I says, not one for missing an opportunity. I says, give me a second to think about it. And then I went and I said, I've never tried this, but let's try a world record. And the world record was the fastest time to make 13 balloon dogs. And what I did was I went up on stage that night and I equaled the world record. And it was pretty hectic. I was making the balloons fast. The whole bar were like up going, yes, come on. I was going, this is mental. And then they filmed me after it and a full interview. Asked me what it would make for Simon Cowell, what it would make for the Queen, and what it would do if it got on Britain's Got Talent. And I just like really casually, coolly was like, yeah, we'll do this and do that. And I remember going home that night, it was like 11 o'clock, and saying to my wife, I just done an audition for Britain's Got Talent. And she was like half asleep and she says, yeah, okay. and then literally within 2 weeks, I get a phone call and say, you're through the lives. And I says, the live show? And I said, yeah. And I says, what does that mean? And they're like, so you're going to be on stage in front of the judges and an audience. And I was like, again, playing it cool. Yeah, it's no problem. I'll do that. And then, like, literally, so like over 10,000 people apply for this. There's loads of different stages. But there's loads of people apply for it. And very talented people, Claire. People that have been doing their talent for their whole life. You know, and I kind of feel like I skipped a bit of that because it was something different, a bit unique.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I'd say they love the unique stuff.
They do. They like something different. But listen, Britain's Got Talent is Britain's Got Talent. They're open to everything, but some things work and some things don't. And I was kind of on the cusp of, they were giving me a chance, but I had to prove myself and I had a lot to prove. I went in Britain's Got Talent, but my main ambition for going in Britain's Got Talent was because I wanted to be a Guinness World Record holder. And I pitched them the idea that I would do a world record, which I did. And then by February, I was standing in Manchester in front of 2,000 people on stage, in front of the judges, doing this world record attempt. But the world record attempt that I've been practicing for, I was only notified 7 days before it of what I would be doing. Now, I was making 5 balloon sculptures, which is difficult enough, fastest time possible, but I don't have blindfolded, so...
Oh my God. Jesus, so you really took it up a notch from the 5 or the doing the balloon dogs fast, the fastest.
Well, do you know what? Guinness World Records don't give you titles easy, so I had to go for an existing record, and that record was a record that I was interested in. But wow, if you had been in my house 7 days before I flew to Manchester, I had never attempted that world record before. I didn't even know how to make the balloons in the world record. But I'm a methodical kind of guy, so I said, I have 7 days, I'll crack this. So every day, I literally figured out how to make the balloons. I started doing them individually, doing them as many as I could, getting faster and faster and faster, put them all together. And then I put a blindfold on and went, how do you work this out? But you know what? I had faith that I could do it. I had faith that I could do it. I had no chance, but I had faith that I could figure it out. And I flew to Manchester kind of knowing that there's a possibility I could do it, but yeah, not really know. You know what I mean? I was like complete. And then I walked on stage and done the world record and or attempted the world record, sorry, blindfolded. And do you know what? It literally was my first time on stage in my life doing something like that. And it was a big step, but at the same time, you know, I didn't get fazed by any of it because it's not that I didn't care about it. It was a lovely experience, but I wanted the record.
Yeah.
I was like so focused on that record that everything else was, and I just went, hey, what's the crack? How you doing? I was just like chatting. And then in the back of my mind, I was like, the record's coming home. And then I done it. And I the record was 62.6 seconds. And I only beat it by 1.3 seconds.
So wow.
It was really dramatic. And I just remember getting it. Anton Deck handed me the certificate. Walking out of there, like, I don't even feel like I walked out of that studio. I feel like I just floated out of there. I was so proud and happy myself. You know what? That record was coming home to my kids to show that their daddy was the best in the world at something. And my big part of my life is being or trying to be inspirational, especially for my kids, and showing them that you can do things that you don't think is possible. So it was such an elation. But, you know, I took the record and I brought it home. And then, you know, you wait a wee while before it comes on TV. And I was kind of thinking, are they going to show it? Is it going to go down well and all the rest? And it just resonated so well with everybody, you know?
So that's really interesting because you had said live shows. So it wasn't, it was like in front of a live studio, but it wasn't, they're not actually live, are they not?
It's called a live audition. So you have the judges in there in person and a 2,000 strong audience and they film it. But yes, the first part is the audition process. So they call it a live audition. But whenever they film it, it doesn't go out on TV then for until they're finished. So it went out about, was aired about 2 months after that. But I did then make it through to the live semifinals. So they were.
Yes. Okay. I understand the distinction now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So they were streamed live to TV. So that was a whole different dollar experience. But because they only gave me my record that time, they only drafted me 10 days. I was the latest person in history to be drafted into the semifinals for whatever reason. I went to what they call the reveal. So, you know, where they go up on stage and they bring like 4 acts on and they go, okay, guys, you've done really well. And they keep you in suspense and they go, and you're through to the last semifinal and you're, yes. Well, I went up on there actually on stage with an Irish magician at the time and a couple other people. And they told me no. And I was devastated. But at the same time, took it on the chin, said, I'll go back, regroup, I'll find something else, I'll do something else. I went back, and then, so I was out up until 10 days before, and then they phoned me and say, you're in the semi-final. And I actually says, get the out of here. And they said, no, I can't get the F out of here, you're definitely in the semi-final. And I was all,
They must have watched it during the edit process and been like, actually, we made a mistake.
Do you know what? They like to have, like, they'll always have their singers, they'll always have their dancers, they'll always have their magicians, they'll always have their choirs and stuff like that. But they like to put in, it's a talent show, you have to have something different. So I was lucky that, like you say, I had that uniqueness of doing this. And I just think that a lot of things clicked. I do believe in destiny and believe in fate, but you have to earn it and you have to make your own path and think good things will happen. So for me, it was just a coming together of good things happening. I remember saying to my wife, whenever she said I'm in semifinals, she's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And I says, it was meant to be. I knew this was going to happen. Like, so I was delighted to get into the semifinals in 2017. And then the semifinals, they happened in around June time. And again, I got my record late. And I got the models that I was doing were changed 14 hours before I went on stage. So I had to relearn them. Now,
geez, were they trying to make it harden you on purpose, sir?
Oh, don't chat. Hey, don't chat. Guinness World Records, God love them. I love them to bits, but they don't have to make it difficult. But yeah, they changed.
All right, so it was the Guinness World Records and not the show just randomly trying to make your life harder.
Not the show, hey, because the show wanted me. They had a big story, right? So the first time I broke the record, I beat an Australian guy by 1.3 seconds. So whenever Simon's reaction on the show was, we beat the Aussies. And then whenever I went to the semifinals, I was attempting to beat a guy from New York called John Cassidy, who had held the record for, I think it was 12 years at that time. So it was like Ireland versus the USA now. And I was like, so the executive producer was all, are you ready to beat the USA? And I was all, bring it on, bring it on. And then, because everything was changed last minute, I was literally, my wife was saying to me, you looked like white as a ghost when you walked on that stage. And I was like, that's because I had no chance. I hadn't even attempted a full run at breaking that record when I went on the stage. And because they knew I was fast, my table in the first edition was like this size. Yeah. And my table in the semifinal was literally 20 foot long where they spaced out the balloons to slow me down because they thought I was going to go too fast. They wanted the drama at the end. And I was like, everything's conspiring against me. And then anyway, listen, I was live. I didn't mind that, but I went on.
Sorry, what was the record this time? You weren't blindfolded this time, obviously. If they're going to space out your balloons, you have to be able to see where they are.
Yeah, not blindfolded. So this one was the most unique balloon models made in 60 seconds. The record was 13. So nice. I had to make like
13 different animals, like
different animals at speed, like, so you're talking like sub 4 seconds per balloon, like, so it was nuts. But listen, I had my lineup, I went for it, and I ended up missing out on breaking the record by about 2 seconds, but I was devastated, obviously. But because I equaled it, I still achieved the world record as a joint title holder. But
I equaled it.
So, I was happy with that, but at the same time, being who I am, I was devastated that I didn't break it. And I was like, do you know what? It is what it is. I can't change it. It happened there and then, and I was happy enough with it. Equal the record, whatever.
You still make it into the book as a joint title holder, do you?
You do, but before the book got published, I then had an opportunity to go on Blue Peter, which is a dream of mine. They contacted me and said, within 2 months, they said, will you come on the show and will you do a record? And I says, I will. And I says, redemption time. We're gonna do the BGT world record. And I went on the Blue Peter and smashed it. I got 14 with seconds to spare. And I was honestly, the people in Blue Peter and also the people in my edition, Britain's Got Talent. I remember looking at some of the stuff that journalists were writing online. They were saying, this guy who made balloons seems happier than everybody that ever won Britain's Got Talent put together. But they didn't know the story. They didn't know what it was about. They didn't know the way I wanted to do it and how I was so passionate. But I was like, there was no act on it. Like, it was just pure elation at achieving a goal that seemed impossible. So I got my redemption. And then I suppose after that, Claire, a bit of time had passed. I'd done some other stuff. I was actually on great listening to Liam O'Neill, actually being on Ninja Warrior, a really good friend of mine, because I did Ninja Warrior the following year as the balloon ninja and got to the semifinals of it as
after,
well.
So after Liam did?
After Liam did, yeah.
Did, like, the sensei. Following year, oh my God.
he helped me, actually. I trained for, only had 5 weeks to train for Ninja Warrior.
You weren't the student that he brought the first year and got on it ahead of,
no,
were you?
No.
He was like, I brought my student to get on it and I ended up getting on it.
I was listening to that. He was saying that. I'm not sure who that was. Must find out who that was. But no, I was kind of, I went on after him, but I had the what do you call it, the good thing of Liam actually gave me some insight into it and helped me train for it mentally and prepare for it. And then I had a PT, a personal assistant, that was training me specifically for Ninja Warrior. I was quite athletic anyway. I was always a big fan of stuff like that. I have a couple of world records in breakdancing as well. And I like parkour. So I was fit for it. But listen, I went on Ninja Warrior as the balloon guy, and I had big balloon swords. And like, they were kind of thinking, this guy's, they were like, this guy's not going to get too far. But you know what? This is a big thing that I like about Liam and about what he does. Whenever I end up that course, it was daunting. Liam's right. It's 2,000 strong, massive arena. You're up maybe 20, 30 foot in the air. These obstacles are like really daunting. It's like staring down a gauntlet. Like, and I was like, I just stood there, looked down the course, and this is what I did before I started. Bring it at me. And mentally, I didn't care about falling. I just was going to give it my best time. And I tell you what, I got as far as some of the best athletes in the world making the semifinals, and I just missed out in the final. So again, at
that's
a point
really
to prove
good.
It was tough going, but you know what I mean? It was fun. I love Ninja Warrior. Like, I love that stuff.
So you must, and not to derail the Britain's Got Talent conversation, but I'm a big fan of Ninja Warrior. So you must have got up the, because Liam and I were talking about how the last bit was like ludicrously difficult. Wall. Do you know where you run up the wall and hang by the fingers?
Do you know, I was listening to Liam talking about this, right? And I listened to you saying about that you're only like 5 foot something and you wouldn't get up the wall. You'll get up the wall. Let me tell you, it's technique, Claire. I trained with, it is. Listen, I didn't make the wall because I fell on the obstacle before the wall, but because I got the fastest furthest. So there was an obstacle in my audition. Liam was right as well. They change everything through the week in the different heats. But I fell in the upside down inverted I-beam because of my height, actually, because I couldn't reach. But out of the 50 people that ran my heat, most of them didn't even make it to the point I made it to. So I didn't get to the wall, which I was devastated about not making the wall, because I'd have ran up that wall and I'm only 5'6". Like, but listen, when you do the wall, people, it is about technique. When you run into the wall, it's a three step. Your first step is the kind of base yourself. Your second step is up, and your third step. It's weird because you're running into a wall and everything's telling you don't run into a wall. But what you have to do is you have to just use the power in your leg. To propel yourself up, and the ledge just appears and you just grab it. So it would be hard, but listen, you could do it and I could do it.
I believe
we gotta get you to a warp wall.
but
so listen, a lot of things happened for me in a short space of time. I actually just finished the day before my Britain's Got Talent semi-final. I just finished an all-nighter for my masters as well, so a lot going on in my life. Jeez. We had the kids. And then it was a bit of a nuts time for us. And then there's the guy from Australia, Jeremy Redden, reclaimed the record in Australia's Got Talent in 2019. So he got the record back. He beat me.
There's now an international Britain's Got Talent competition happening.
Well, do you know what? Because Simon went, oh, we beat the Aussies, and because Australia's Got Talent, they have theirs.
They rang him immediately. They were like,
but you know what? But you see, Simon's he's like the king of talent, yeah, right? He started the whole thing. Exactly. But you see the Aussies, right? See, whenever Jeremy beat it, they were like, I remember the judge turned around and says, take that, Simon Cowell, in your face, right? So I said to my wife woke me up, right, and said, this guy in Australia's Got Talent got the record back, and I was all, big deal. And she was like, you're not annoyed? And I says, I'm not annoyed, because we didn't see what's going to happen. Within a day, I had a phone call from London.
No way.
I swear to God, the phone call from London. Here, that guy got the record back. Do you think he could reclaim it? And I said, all day long, I'll smash him. So they invited me back on the show. I went back on. This time around, the guy in Australia had an assistant, right? His husband was on stage with him, handing him balloons. So I said,
to speed it up.
Yeah. And I said, actually, do you know what the real honest truth is, Claire?
Yeah.
It doesn't. It slows you down.
I was like, yeah, it might slow you down, actually.
It does slow you down. But you know what? Do you know how you slow it down even more? You invite your 7-year-old son to hand you balloons. But listen, the story started with Matthew. And I said to my wife, he's out of all the children, he's the right age. He had a bada boom suit. He was wearing it as well, and a red hat. We matched them up. And I said, can he do it? Because a 7-year-old boy can't focus on anything for longer than 30 seconds. So we trained, and fair play to Matthew, we trained hard. We trained. The only way that I could get it into to make it work was by doing enough practice so that his muscle memory would kick in.
Oh, that's so clever.
Yeah, so we'd done loads of it. We had little things like handshakes, and we had little things where I would say things that would trigger him to do what he needed to do. And so we went back on the show, and we done it together. And that was, and you know, you thought from the first time, you know, I'm doing the exact same record on the biggest talent show in the world. Like, what's happening? And there was a story about reclaiming the record, definitely. But Matthew and I then did it. And the record that I had set the first time was 61.3 seconds. The guy in Australia beat it and got 55 seconds. So I had to go faster. Yeah. So I had to go faster, right? But this, again, this is what people don't know. Whenever I went on Britain's Got Talent, there was a guy from Hungary who had beat it and got 44.25 seconds just before I went on the goddamn show. So I was beating an Australian, but he had already lost the record, but yeah. I still needed to reclaim it. So I went on, and I only found this out a short time before I went on, and they were like, you got to do below 44. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, because you're aiming for below 55, and now suddenly you have to shave another 11 off it.
Oh, Jesus. I'm not joking. Exactly. So I had to beat the record, I had to go something like 40% faster than I had done.
And sorry, just to remind everyone, this is the one with the 5 dogs in the quickest space of time, isn't it?
It's the 5 balloon sculptures. So it's not, dogs would have been nice, Claire, but it wasn't. It was a cat. It was a caterpillar, a snail, a flyer, a sword, and a dog.
Oh, and so are they set?
They are set.
They're set, right? Okay. Yeah,
they're set, and you have to be made in a very specific way. They have to.
Yeah, they can't be shit like them.
Exactly. You know what I mean? They have to be done kind of well, so you can make them fast and go da-da, and then they go, what the fuck is that everything? So it's like, you have to make them well. So that's another part of the problem. But, and then the adjudicator is there to adjudicate them, to make sure after you break the, if you break the record, they go, well, I got to check it to make sure it's right. So thankfully, Matthew and I and Dawn, we had a very kind of, and listen, Matthew walked out in front of 2,000 people on that, and he just looked up, and I could see it in his wee face, and I went, oh dear, come to me. And we done the handshake, and I was all, we got this. And they caught that in the audio too. I was like, we got this, lad, come on, we got this and stuff. And then we went.
That's so huge.
It was class, you know, and you know, as an experience, that was completely outweighed the first edition. The first edition was about me, really. But it was about inspiration, but it was kind of about, hey, look at me, I'm really good at balloons. And then this time it was like, Matthew, so like Ant said, I didn't see this until the cut and they showed it on TV, but Ant said when we were walking on stage, he said, oh, I really hope he does it now with his boy up there. Whenever I watched that back, I was all, God damn you, Ant, you're trying to do to me. But I heard that, I had a heart attack. But yeah, listen, like for me, I wanted to do it for Matthew. Matthew wanted to do it for me. And listen, I'm delighted to say that we broke the record.
Oh, well done. That is
thank
amazing.
You. But listen, it was even tighter. It was a fraction of a second we beat it by. I think it was only 0.7 seconds we beat it by that time. So The drama of the first time actually
paled in comparison.
It did. But at the same time, people, I don't know if people thought that I could actually do that and plan that. That's not planned. I did not. I'll tell you what happened, right? I was making balloons, right? And Matthew was there and I was blindfolded and I was going, I've got a good rhythm. Things are going well. I'm going, doing good. And then there's a big clock behind me, right? Counting down for 45 seconds. So the audience start going, 10, oh, no. 9. And I go, in my head, right? I'm going, I ain't where I'm supposed to be. I'm like 5 seconds out here. I'm not getting this. So I go into super speed mode, as fast as I can, and then literally within a fraction of a second we get the record, and I was like, Wow, that was stressful. That was stressful. But yeah, we got the record. We brought it home, and it was delighted. It was a mighty experience for me as a father to have my son on there. You know, I grew up with my father not being around, so I wanted to melt. That for me, it was more important to be the best father I could be. So it was great to have Matthew there. But then what happened was, so I had that, and then the lives, the semifinals were coming up. But just before I was contacted by them, Australia's Got Talent phoned me, and they say, "Listen, we heard you beat the record." And I was like, "Yeah, I did, all day long." And they said, "Would you come to Australia and go head to head on stage with Jeremy live and see who's the best once and for all?" And I said, "Wow, yeah, I will. But you got to understand," it was a girl called Farah, actually, she's good origins in Ireland, the producer. And I said, "I will, but you got to understand that I will destroy him." And they were like, "Is this guy for real?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm for real." And you know what I said? They came back to me actually and said, "Jeremy said you can't go that fast. There must be a reason. You must be doing something different or making different balloons." And I actually said, "If Jeremy wants, I'll teach him how to do it, but I'll still beat him." Now, there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance, Claire, and I surf it a lot, you know what I mean? But whenever there's good intent, I think it's all right, you know. But
yeah, anyway, it's a bit of banter.
It is a bit of banter, you know what I mean? But that's what the Irish is all about. Like, but hey, that didn't happen.
COVID. Because
COVID. Literally the COVID. Next week, COVID, the world shut down. And I was like, right, okay, cool. And you know what? It can happen in the future if it happens.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, hopefully maybe it will happen in the future. Surely they'll want to get that sort of thing up and running again. I don't even know if Australia's Got Talent has continued, but they'll probably want to be driving the audiences and getting something to root behind. So they might be back onto you. And absolutely. As you said, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
I completely believe in that, you know, and I do think, you know, that there's a lot of kind of the stuff that if it happens, it happens. And I'm very open to stuff like that. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I'm ready. I'm prepared. I'm doing what I'm doing, but I'm not. I'll keep getting on with what I'm getting on with, if you know what I mean. So
yeah.
I think actually, to be honest, when we think of the whole context of modern society and the way things have happened, and people say to me, you know, it'll never be the same and all the rest. And I'm saying, you know what? It'll be better than what it is now.
Yeah,
and that's an improvement. Hopefully. And there's only good things to come, because we've had a lot of bad. We've had a lot of negativity. There's a lot of, I've no doubt that this, what we've been through is going to impact us. But I do think the stuff will come back. I think it'll come back bigger and better. And I think that this great reset, for want of a better word, has certainly taught me a lot. And I've took a lot of positives out of it from my own perspective and my family life, and spending more time at home and reprioritizing and stuff like that. So, you know, there's a lot of learning and everything. And if you can look at it in a positive way, you can find a way to make sense of it, you know.
I totally agree with you. And like, because I'm always saying to people as well who kind of go, "Oh, Jesus, will we ever go back to normal?" And I say, well, the roaring 20s came after the 1918 pandemic.
Hey, you're so right. Hey. Yeah, you know what I mean? I agree with that. I think there's a lot of good to come, you know.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. That was absolutely brilliant.
No problem at all. Hey, you're very welcome.
Do you want to remind everyone where to find you on the internet and follow your escapades in case you ever do get to head over to Australia?
Hey, listen, there's never a dull moment around Tracy. But yes, you can get me on my Facebook page, it's Duff Balloons, or you can get me on YouTube, Duff the Balloon Ninja. And you can get me on Instagram and Twitter as well. Just look for Ryan Tracy the Balloon Man. But listen, I do have I am making balloon modeling kits now, which have been very popular throughout this pandemic. So if you want to learn how to become a balloon modeler, I can hook you up with a kit and you can have a go at it. And I actually teach people how to do the balloon models that I did in my world record. So if they want to ever become a Guinness World Record holder, pay attention, Jeremy. You can read the instructions.
You're cultivating your own competition. That's amazing. You're like coaching them.
You know what? People always said to me, "Oh, what are you going to do with Sonny Boots?" And I said, let them beat it. If they're good enough to beat it. You know what I mean? People weren't always the fastest in the world and the best in the world at some things. If they work as hard as I did, Claire, you know,
they deserve it.
Well, do you know what? And if people work as hard as you have and doing what you've done, I've had a look at the stuff that you've done through the last number of years, and it's very, very impressive. And you've had great success. But
thank
listen,
you
know yourself, you graft, hey, and you have to graft. And you know what? The best thing to do is, like you're doing that, is you graft with a smile on your face, hey, and you just push on, and good things will happen to people and good things will come. I'm a big believer in there's a film called Madagascar, right? And you know the penguins, they're like,
yeah, I love that film.
Smile and wave, boys. That's what I do, right? No matter how difficult anything is in life, I just go smile and wave. You know, you'll get through it.
I do love that film. And I love the penguins in it as well.
They're mighty, hey.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you so much for watching. And please subscribe to the podcast on YouTube and or on your preferred audio platform. And if you could give us a review, that would be great. And please go check Ryan out. I have all the links down in the description and in the show notes on the audio platforms. And so, yeah, thank you so much, Ryan. And I'll see you in the next one.
Yes, definitely. Thanks very much, Claire.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by The Shift. For more like this, check out theshift.ie.